Welcome to One Decent Pastor, a weekly podcast of The Door located in Central Oregon, where three completely average guys join forces to make one decent pastor and to discuss, discover, and promote all things Bible.
We're live, 1 minute late.
Just like that,
we're
live.
One Decent Pastor. It's 10:01.
I was trying to look.
Normally we're pretty prompt at 10 a.m.
Yeah, it's been kind of one of those days. So.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's all right.
One of what days, Brent?
You know, just a lot going on already. Got up early and been doing things. Now I'm just, you know, ready for...
Have you been walking?
I did. I went for a walk. It was good.
4 mile walk?
A 4 mile tour.
That's crazy.
Dog. Wow. How long does it take you to walk 4 miles?
I travel at 4 miles an hour, Chad.
That's a pretty good clip.
I did
for walking.
Did it in 59 minutes today, so booyah.
Look at you go. What's your goal?
That works.
59 minutes.
Yeah.
Whatever I come in at.
No, an hour's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
This is random, but I remember from the movie The Fugitive that an injured fugitive goes about 2 miles an hour.
Oh, well. So I'm not
just throwing that out there, for, you know, whatever.
Is that Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
He's a stud, dude.
Yeah.
No. I am not an injured fugitive, but...
I know you're not.
But I'm only doubling their speed.
You kind of are, though, right? Kind of. Like a little bit.
Kind of.
I don't have any banter today, guys, do you? Is there
what,
anything?
I just tried, but I guess it didn't stick.
No, it did. You said it. We giggled.
Yeah, we exhausted it. Nothing else to
yeah,
to
now
say
now we're on to... better things. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Just jump right in.
It's kind of a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're doing a Door 101. That's what we're calling it, right?
Yeah, we call it the Door 101.
So we have, do you want to explain this? We have newcomers lunches that we used to do and we don't do anymore. So that's why we're doing this.
For years, we would probably do a couple a year. So if you were new to the church, you could come right away-ish
and
find out. Yeah, you'd have lunch after church, find out kind of what we are as a church, what we're not as a church, and then ask any pertinent questions that you might have that might be deal breaker kind of things for you. And it was pretty helpful because otherwise sometimes you might come to a church for 6 months to a year and then assume everybody's just the same as you as far as what you believe and what you think. And then you hear a sermon one day or you find something out and it's like, oh, now you've got this awkward break that happens. And so if you do these on a regular basis, in theory, you can avoid some of these things.
This allowed you to ask the pastors pressing questions.
Correct.
That could be deal breakers.
Yep.
And sometimes it was a deal breaker and we would have people never show up again after.
Which was helpful actually.
Yeah. Because again, for everybody. Helpful for them,
around.
Helpful for us.
Right. Because I think people start to form relationships with others and you make friendships and now all of a sudden they're just gone and that sucks. So
it does.
So I think we haven't done them really since COVID probably.
Yeah.
We just didn't get back into the habit again. And so the thought was today we're going to go through what we would normally say. So there won't be obviously questions asked by people as far as.
Well.
Things.
They could. Unless, if you send them in during, you can ask
you
us questions
live,
and we'll try to tackle them at the end
the
if
chat.
We have time.
Yeah. Or if there's people that listen afterwards, they can email us and we could follow up with answers.
Or we have cards down there or on the website, contact info. Email us or text us or call us or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's important to say from the outset. That's what I wanted, Chad. Thank you.
From the get-go.
From the outgo, we'll say something else. But from the get-go.
That works too.
From the get-go, what I think we should say. Is this we don't think we're the best church out there right.
Speak for yourself.
No, I think sometimes.
Do you know of a better one around here?
No. we're the best.
like in the half mile radius, is there anything better?
Half mile.
Oh, we're the best in the half mile radius.
In half mile
no
radius,
doubt.
We've got it covered.
But. Yeah.
If you had a van, would you take it farther than a half mile away from the church?
Whoa, dude.
ding, 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 ding.
No, I think that there's times when you can go through something like this and it can sound like we're the ones that are doing it right. We've got it all figured out. This really isn't meant to be that as much as it might have been when we started, but we've evolved.
I think I know I was a little cocky when we would do these.
Yeah.
Like these people do this, but
check
we do it
out.
Like this.
Yeah.
And we're not like that anymore.
This is more.
That's worth mentioning.
Yeah, it's more meant to say these are our distinctives and these are what we value.
But we do these things for a reason also.
Correct. Hopefully a biblical reason, not because we think we're rad. Although,
well, we think the Bible's rad. If we do things for biblical reasons, then
there we
know.
Go.
Thank you, Brent. That was a good introduction. Chad, do you want to add to that introduction?
No, I think that. So you guys started doing this before I came around and was part of things.
We just thought it was a good idea because there was a time when, I mean, there was new people showing up every week. Right. And so it was hard to keep up on that. We just thought this was the best way to keep up on.
I think we've only done one of these in Lapine in 5 years.
No, seriously.
And we haven't done one here in probably 5 years.
So we're going to try to tag this to the front page of our website so it's easily accessible so that it can easily be clicked on and then refer people to it. So if you guys know new people that are coming or people that are investigating, maybe friends that aren't coming, you can point them to this and they can, it's just meant to be informative about us. This is who we are. This is who we aren't.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And if you got questions, send them in now or get a hold of us later. Our history, the door, we've been around how long, where did we come from? What are we doing here? Who made us pastors? Did they know what they were doing?
I know who made us pastors. Did they know what they were doing?
They were probably
taking a risk, but
they were. Well, Chad's path's a little different. So Chad was pre-pastoring.
I came in later to this mix, but.
But you were pre-pastoring for a long time.
Right.
In other places. And then, but our paths collided a little later.
They did.
But the door started here 14 years ago now. And we were sent by CBC to kind of try to attack this neighborhood that we weren't having any luck with connecting with. So
it's probably important to point out that when we said earlier we're the raddest church within a half a mile, CBC is about a mile.
That's why I said
down
half.
The road. So
I almost said mile, and
sure
I went,
that
nope.
We clarify that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Community Bible Church.
Exactly. So we've been here for a little while, and it started off, I mean, it was a little sketchy at first. We were kind of a coffee house and making connections to the community that way by serving coffee and having a place to convene. And we've made it this far. So
it was 2011 when we were sent out by CBC. You were kind of tapped, and then you formed a team. You had been a youth pastor there, mm-hmm. or youth, they didn't call you youth pastor, but youth leader. Whatever, I was a youth leader there as well. Right. And mm-hmm. so we didn't assign ourselves to these positions. We were sent out by somebody who recognized that we were supposed to be doing this.
Yes.
And then in 2000, it's been 5 years ago, so 2006.
When
Lapine joined us.
Yeah, okay.
Was it 2019?
I mean, we're getting towards six.
So. Yeah, we are almost November six. Or October will be six, so coming up on 6 years. We joined with Chad, who was down in the Calvary Chapel in Lapine.
Which we knew prior to that.
Yeah,
so there was a relationship
you guys,
there.
Almost 11 years ago.
Yeah,
Spurgeon Fellowship.
We had a mutual friend. When I moved down to South County, we had a mutual friend that said, you guys ought to know each other.
Yeah.
So met you guys right away, and here we are.
Yes, and we'll kind of come back more to...
I think we did a podcast episode on how all that came
to be. I think we did.
If someone wants to dig through the archives for the details.
And we'll touch on it as we get through this, as far as our ideas of church growth.
Yeah.
And... strategies with that, because that kind of ties into.
But right now we have two locations, and I would say that one of the main reasons we started this location, you mentioned that they weren't able to reach a certain demographic, so to speak.
Yeah,
I know your heart has always been kind of for the unchurched and the de-churched, so people who either disenfranchised with church or just have never been. And so we didn't really start with the goal of bringing in a bunch of Christians from other churches or other areas. We came in to try to reach the underdog and reach people.
We wanted to keep it kind of lean and mean.
Yeah.
And there was a couple people even in our core group that started in our living room that were not even believers, considered believers, and they were excited. So that right there even kind of set the tone or the goal of what we were trying to do, which I don't think is recommended when you're church planning to use non-believers. You should probably use disciples of Christ. But it proved to actually help shape a lot of what we were trying to achieve because those people didn't know rules. They were just running around inviting people to church.
Well, it changes the way you talk about things as a church and how you approach things because you don't just assume everybody's in the same place.
Yeah,
which is a mistake churches even today make that because most of their people may be Christians, but some aren't.
Yep.
So, anyway,
for sure.
Continue on.
So that's kind of our brief history. We all worked full time jobs. You still work. You still work. Yep. You're bivocational. But when we started this, just to tag onto the history, we had no intention on getting paid or making a career out of it. We just felt called pastorally to reach people. And so we did it. And so I was a full-time chimney sweep, owned a business. You were a full-time...
Technician. That means I fix copiers and networks and printers and things like that.
All right.
Fixing copiers.
Fixing copiers. Hey. Sitting on copiers. Bridge. Having fun.
Printerino.
Yeah. Our name.
right here. Credit to anybody who knows that reference.
Dado. It's the door. Back when I was not on the internet, back when we were planting this, even though the internet was around, I didn't know how to like really look to see what was out there. So
do you now, David?
Yes. So I didn't know there was hundreds of other churches across the United States
Pentecostal
called
churches.
Dado, and that they were all kind of crazy churches. And so we're a little conservative. We'll get into that. Anyway, this comes from John 10:9. That's where the name comes from.
We are the raddest door within, say, a 75-mile radius.
Yes, we are. So some of my stupid ideas when we planted, one of them was I didn't want church in the name. So I would always say this, like, let's not say that we're a church. Let's act like the church, like this. You know what I mean? And so we wanted it to be maybe a little bit of a guess, but we also wanted it to say a lot. And so we felt like the door says a lot because it's not just an access point, it's a person,
right?
That's an access point. Yeah. So this is Jesus that we're talking about here. If you look at John 10:9, that's where it comes from. So so it says a lot.
Might as well read John 10:9.
Hey, I got it there. Do you got it there?
Yeah, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.
I thought you were going to take a picture of me because the way you looked it up, because your Bible's right there.
I don't have a little.
I don't know why your Bible's on your phone when it's right. Like there's a real one right there.
I'm reading what you're reading and the verses in it.
Is it here?
Yep.
I had it here in my real Bible.
Isn't that handy to have it there too?
Sure. Yeah. you have a person. You have also exclusivity as far as how you become a Christian, how you are saved. It's not many ways. It's one way. So we kind of liked the components to the simple name, the door. So anything else with the name?
Nope.
All right, keep going.
Would you change it if you could?
I would put the door
church.
So that people don't think it's a... We've had people think it's a nightclub.
I love it. I love when those people show up to a nightclub and they're in a church service instead.
What I don't like is when somebody's been in this community for 10 years and they're like, oh, you guys are a church?
Yeah.
Not to mention that there's always been...
We have had somebody seek us out looking to actually purchase a door.
I get calls that happened. People want to replace garage doors a lot too. So okay.
Yeah.
So a church would be helpful.
The door's pretty rad.
It is. I love the name.
Especially with a fist like this. On the knuckles. Our mission. Three simple words, making, equipping, sending, which it does not say here. It says it on our other stuff. They're taken from Jesus' words in Matthew 28. Do you want to read that in your real Bible? Nope.
It's right here. I can just quote it for you.
How about this? And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So making, equipping, sending, the implied word that goes with each of those is disciples.
Disciples.
Right? Making disciples, equipping disciples, sending disciples. You guys want to briefly articulate those?
I mean, that's the reason the church exists. You know, I think there's a lot of churches that maybe have not taken the time to define, like, why are we here?
Yeah.
And in the absence of having something like that that says, here's why we're here, then the church becomes things that the church maybe was never meant to be.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have this thing that always kind of reminds us of our purpose, and we're called back all the time to making, equipping, and sending disciples. Everything we do is through that vein. So when we're deciding about, you know, new things, you know, to do, it's like, well, does it fit within that?
And so
it gives us kind of parameters in which we exist.
And it's complete, like you're saying, because that statement's a loop.
It's reciprocal.
Right. Making, equipping, sending, who then go out and make, equip, and send, who then go out and make, equip, and send. So, yeah, it's disciples making disciples.
Right. But it is the simplistic plan of God for the proliferation of the gospel in the earth.
Yes. So the sending, real quick, I had someone a couple of weeks ago say, you guys haven't really done that. You've been around for almost 14 years. You haven't really seen somebody go out and do this thing. And so their idea of sending was more on this macro level rather than a micro level. So the micro level would look like what?
Well, I would say just the idea of you're being missional in your community. So you're not just going across the ocean, but you're right. going across the street.
Right, right.
And so we did see this repeatedly. Though, you know, every time we end a service, almost we yeah. talk about the people are getting ready to enter their mission field,
right?
Which is the people around us.
Yes.
And so we are sending people out every week.
Yeah.
With the message of hope.
There you
and
go.
So we hopefully yeah. are, yeah. when they, I mean, when you think of it that way, it's like, oh, of course they're sending.
Yeah.
And yet we've also sent people out on mission yeah. trips, and we supported missionaries, and we help with, yep. you know, different things.
But, so it could yeah. be somebody going across the ocean
yep.
to do a missional right. work.
Which it could we support
be,
that.
Yeah. Or it could be somebody even going out and planting a church somewhere, but it always means that we are living a missional lifestyle.
Right.
right, right. Like we live our life day to day, no matter where we find ourselves, with Christ in mind and people's souls in mind. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking of that John Piper quote that there are the senders, the goers, and the disobedient.
Exactly.
Right. Like yeah. everybody's a participant.
Yeah.
You know, in some way, and everybody should be thinking about, you know, who's across the street from me, or next door, or down the road, or in my community. And,
yeah.
And I think that. Kind of in the era of, you know, big church and programs like that, the simplicity of that kind of gets lost also.
Yeah. And I think it was Spurgeon that said, if you're a Christian, you're either a missionary or an imposter.
Yeah.
And it's the same type idea. I think we all had a huge conviction from whether it was churches we came out of or just looking at Christianity and Christians as a whole who seem to be very insular and who don't walk in this thing that's really kind of the reason why you're living and breathing.
Right.
As a Christian, we knew that we wanted to put an emphasis on this and make sure that this was sure. like front and center and what the door promotes and how we lead others. That
I,
come
I find
in,
it so. Strange that those who take on the title of evangelical Christian are not generally that evangelical.
That don't even think about it or
right
or even stay away from it.
Or they think it's a corporate strategy or a corporate activity
yeah.
like oh, it's the church's job to be evangelical, yeah. not my job as an individual Christian.
Yeah, to have a rock band play once right. a year in the parking lot and call that missional outreach.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
What if
they're ripping phone books in half?
Come on, dog. Let's go.
No, it does make you ask the question, if this isn't the mission the church is on, what are they doing?
What are we doing?
Right.
And so, you know, obviously there's good mission statements out there that are,
yeah.
you know, this is just our idea, but
yeah.
this is why we exist.
Because we say it sometimes, like everything that we do when we come together corporately, we're going to do better in eternity.
Yeah.
In that final place. So what's that thing we won't be doing there? Well, it's sharing Christ with others.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the mission has an end.
Yeah. And that's not just for evangelists. Evangelists, gifted people can help us learn how to do
right.
that. But if you're a Christian, you're an evangelist. Like
yep.
you should be sharing Christ. All right, our doctrine. We have a separate handout that covers... I'm going to read this like a nerd. This is Brent talking. We have a separate handout that covers our statement of faith. But at the end, we will give you a chance to ask... You know, why am I reading that? So
you hit the highlight there. We're not going to go through our what we believe thing
statement
today.
Statement of faith yeah. does exist. If you go to our website, there's the hamburger.
Thedoor3r.org.
Click on the hamburger. Who we are. Statement of faith.
If you're on your computer,
what we believe.
Yeah. If you're on your computer, there's no hamburger. It's just, but if you're on your phone, there is. So,
what you'll find what we believe yep. somewhere. That's where you're going to find this. We have our doctrinal statement there, basically, and then there's bylaws, which isn't the same thing, but you those are available too if you want those.
Not on the website, but they're
not on the website. But if you ask
yep.
us, okay. Methods and distinctives. We kind of talked about this. We're a missional church. That was a buzzword throughout the 2000s
right.
and in the 2010s. So now it just kind of annoys people and it's cringy when you say it. It's still a word that just matters, and it there's a lot wrapped up in it.
It is unfortunate that we have to define churches as missional.
Yeah.
Like that should be just kind of part of the thing.
Yeah, we should be able to say church
right.
and know that it's missional.
Right, know that it's missional.
But yeah. we have to say missional church.
Right.
Which means that we want to be an outward church. We already talked about this. And not an inward church, a church where people live on mission.
Yeah.
Which again should be obvious. You guys want to touch
right.
on that one?
Well, I think we from the start we tried to encourage everybody in the church that this is a team effort. So this isn't like we're the entertainment and you guys are on a cruise ship. We tried to define this as more like a battleship or, you know, a warship where everybody has something to do, an important
sure.
part to play. And if you're not playing it, we're not doing as well as we could. So
yeah.
we wanted everybody to grab a shovel, grab an oar, grab a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, help.
Everybody's bought in.
Yeah.
Yep. on mission.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if that, we probably haven't, you know, we don't beat that drum maybe as often as we did at first.
Right.
But we were bivocational, like you said at the time, we were working jobs, so we couldn't do everything. But the truth is that we're better if everybody's doing their part and it's not just left to, you know, a certain group of people to do everything.
Right. So. Totally. Totally.
And that was honestly, like when I first met you guys, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but like that was kind of one of my draws to you guys is like, oh, these guys actually believe right, that the church should be outward and missional and that, you know, that we have kind of this job to take the gospel out into the world.
Yeah.
And I had just, you know, kind of my church experience, it had been lacking in that.
Yeah.
And so it really was a breath of fresh air to me and part of what, you know, God used to draw me towards you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. So yeah, we're outward, which basically just means that we're not huddling together and protecting this thing in a safe little context that we call the church and you know, hovering over this thing that's comfortable. We're constantly trying to invite others to enjoy and be a part of this thing called the church through a relationship with Christ, right?
Yep.
So, okay. So we're looking for ways, and I think we're going to come back to this. There's things that we even do and participate in. Is it the last one? So the next one is we are more interested in growing out than growing big. So this kind of maybe comes back to how the Door and Lapine ended up, that merge ended up happening. You guys want to speak to that slightly? We're more interested as we grow, and we're challenged with this right now again, how you have options as far as how you grow. We have certain convictions of what those, for certain reasons of how we should grow. What are those? I don't know why I said that.
I think kind of the entrepreneurial, you know, Western American mentality is always kind of bigger is better.
Corporate.
And corporate to grow up instead of out. Mm-hmm. And so that has translated into the church. Like that might be good for business, but that's also, it's translated maybe in an unfortunate way into the church.
And it might be good in your context. Like if you have the facility and the, you know, everything that you need in place to foster that growth without having to go out and get in debt or do something weird, then that's fair game, right?
Sure.
But a lot of churches that are starting small and humble, your options to go in debt so that you can build something big.
But our conviction was always that smaller is pretty good.
Small's so rad.
The idea of trying to shepherd 8,200 people or something like that is a crazy notion. The idea of trying to shepherd 100 people.
Which doesn't mean you're not growing the church.
No.
That it's like us four no more.
So the idea
right?
is we wanted to spread out, not build an empire.
Yeah.
Because you can build an empire and you can get huge, but then there's no accountability. There's no personal, you know, relationships forming or it's a lot harder to do those things. So,
yeah.
Sure.
And then also just finding dark spots on the map where nobody else is wanting to go.
Totally.
I appreciate that about you guys too.
Yeah. So that's part
of
being
been a draw for me too.
Yeah. So that kind of goes back even to the first one, being an outward church instead of an inward is being outward means that you're also looking at where there are holes or gospel gaps in neighborhoods or communities or cities. And so how about if you kill two birds with one stone? You find a gospel gap and you're growing. So why don't you take some of your people and move them over that gap? We really like that a lot.
And that's just not the DNA of many churches out there.
Yes.
You know, again, it's about, you know, going up instead of out. And I think if more churches thought outwardly like that, the world would look a little bit different than it does now.
Yeah. And so growing out rather than up, that appeal to us also.
Not growing up. I said big.
Okay, big. Prosperous.
We need to grow up, David.
Growing
it's time.
Upward, maybe that's what we should say.
Growing out also tackles this next one, which is we're not interested in growing by means of transfer growth, which a lot of times is a good way to grow up, right? But we'd rather make disciples and find people who are disenfranchised from church completely and bring them in rather than steal people or pluck people from other churches. Maybe you guys, I mean, that one's obvious what we're saying, but if you guys want to add to that.
I talked to a guy one time, or maybe it was an article that I read, he was just talking about like church marketing, and basically church marketing is saying, here's why my church is better than all the other churches out there, and that just seems weird.
That's all I see now when I see churches on social media.
Like when a church plant comes into an area, like there's this big marketing push, and they send out postcards, and whatever they do, and really you're fostering transfer growth.
You are. You're saying my church is better than yours. Right. Even
you're
if
saying,
you're not
come
saying
from
that,
your
that's
church
what you're saying.
To my new church.
Yes, right? Exactly.
And you know, God gives us the formula for growing the church, like that he's the one that grows the church.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we should never send out postcards or something like that, but
yeah.
But at the end of the day, like it's the gospel that's going to grow a church, not our ability to be better than everybody else out there, or to be, sharper, well, or more techie. Or
I would say you can grow a church that way, but
you can.
But now, what have you done?
Yeah,
right. What have you got? Right. And that's what we started to realize pretty early on. Is we don't want a bunch of, because and this isn't everybody. There's times when leaving a church is the right thing to do, and God has directed you to do that. But you've got a lot of these people that are always just moving from church to church to church,
yep,
because they've got problems with this one, they've got problems with that one.
Right.
And now guess what they're going to bring when they come to your church? Yep. The same kind of and attitude and problems.
We've experienced that quite a bit.
And so we were really specific. We don't want you to come with all your bags that you're carrying around with you that you're upset about, and come here and mess everything up. Right. So please stay where you're at and don't show up here if that's your attitude. If you're coming to grab an oar or a weapon and you're leaving for a good reason, you've left your church,
fair game.
Come join the, we needed that at some point. We started to have people doing that. But definitely this wasn't about trying to snag Christians from other churches.
So there's a difference between growing a local church, that local church growing, and actually growing the church.
Yes,
you can just have musical chairs going on where it's like, oh, you're the coolest church now because you're the biggest church now.
Right.
But you've just got a bunch of people who are just moving seats.
Yeah.
And we want to actually see the church grow through conversion and through people.
Yeah, the church exists in the world in part for those who have yet to be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And it's our job to bring those people in.
Yeah. Yeah. I offended a few people in the early days because I would actually shake their hand on a Sunday morning. Oh, and we'd introduce each other. Where are you from? Oh, this church over here. Well, you can pray for us. Go back to your church.
Here's
the and it wasn't very nice. Yes.
I was told I did that, but I think they got me confused with you.
They might have. I did it a few times.
Yeah.
Because we're a missional church, we intentionally look and sound a little different than some churches. Again, the missional label kind of is dumb a little bit, but in context of what we're talking about, because we're an outward church, primarily about going out and being on mission with the Great Commission, how does that make us look and sound a little different than other churches?
I know there was that idea that we wanted to, when somebody walked into the door that maybe had been cheesed off by other churches or disenfranchised or just had never been to church, that they wouldn't walk in and immediately feel the same thing they felt every time they walked into a church.
Yeah.
Like, I've experienced this before. I know exactly what this is. This is what my mom's church was or my grandma's church was or whatever it happens to be. And so we were hoping that they wouldn't walk in and immediately feel that, because it could be judgment or it just could be kind of a negative kind of, I don't know. There's some churches, it sounds mean, but you feel like you've walked into like the Lawrence Welk, stage from the 70s or something.
Yes.
It's like, what in the heck is this?
Yes. Or that you've walked into some kind of private club.
Yes.
Private club or a time warp.
Yeah. There could be these strange, superficial, unnecessary obstacles.
That's it.
That actually kind of kill the gospel opportunity before the gospel opportunity ever happens, whether it's by everybody in there wearing their Sunday best and you're walking in and you don't have one. Or, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why if you've come to the door, it's probably a little bit more on the masculine side and not the feminine kind of, again, a lot of churches have more of a feminine touch
and
we get that, but that's part of our thinking is like, let's make this look a little different.
The colors, and it's very neutral too.
Colors are different.
Yeah.
It's going to maybe appeal to somebody that's never been in church. And this is where people, by the way, started to accuse us at times of being seeker sensitive.
Right.
And the seeker sensitive movement, basically, you did things to appeal to the world so that they would show up, which that part's smart. we want that.
Yes.
But then you kind of compromised on everything so that they would stay.
Yes.
And so for us, I mean, I think the way that we would look at the way the door is, we want to become all things to all men for the sake of the gospel.
Right.
We don't want to become all things to all people for the sake of growth.
Correct. Sure.
And I think there's a big difference in those two things.
Yeah.
So some churches want to say, we want to grow, so we're going to do everything we have to.
Yes.
We're going to try to please everybody that walks through our doors. Well, you can't.
Yeah.
And we've never tried to do that.
So we don't compromise anything that we would see the Bible as considering the regulative principles of worship. Like those things are there, sacrament, everything's in place. Our preaching's extremely conservative and Bible-based. We're very careful with the Word of God. We don't mess around with that or play around with that at all. But basically the idea is that everything that we do, even down to the paint color and the way the room looks, is accessible So the preaching is also accessible, even though we're extremely conservative, extremely biblical with the way that we handle the Word of God. We're also not trying to be scholars using Hebrew this and Greek that, even though we probably could if we felt like it. Well, we want everything to be accessible.
We used to do it to try to gain favor with the people listening and try to impress people.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to not do that.
It's really nice to not do it. And people can actually understand what we're saying when we don't do that. So, okay, let's move on. We're biblically conservative. Just said this, but methodologically open. I think we just kind of spoke to someone.
Well, I think that's a surprise to people sometimes, is because when you look at, I think we've changed over the years too, because now we've actually become more liturgical in some ways.
Sure.
But for a while, we looked very kind of punk rock to some people. And so there was this idea, even from our sending church, of like, you don't know what's going to go on. It's dangerous over there. There's weird people. And there were when we started.
It was. Yeah, it's true.
So people just assumed, oh, these guys are liberals. You know, these guys are, they're going to be all over the map theologically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would say not only have we valued that from the start, I would say we've tightened up.
Totally.
We have a better appreciation for church history, for the creeds and the confessions and what, you know, the shoulders that we're standing on as far as theological, you know, accuracy.
I remember one guy in the earlier days who just loved what he saw here because it was so punk rock. And he assumed that we were very liberal with our handling of the Word of God due to that. And there was a sermon one week on what Jesus thinks of hell. And it was like, hell's real, and this is all real, and that dude never showed up again. He was angry that we weren't what he thought we were.
Well, there was even the other church in the area, not CBC, but a different one, that they were super excited about us coming into town because they knew that we could reach the people that they couldn't.
Yeah.
But then when they found out what we were actually like as far as our doctrine and
theology. Oh, you actually believe all this?
They don't come around much anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So. We intentionally seek to create an atmosphere that is raw, genuine, relatable, and honest. Again, there's a couple words in here that have been overused. And
it's still true.
But it's still true. That is still true.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Nothing to add to that?
Well, I just hear people still reinforce that when I came in, one of the things that really appealed to me was that I knew that this place, I think one time somebody called it full contact Christianity.
Yep.
like that. Schaefer coined that
one. It's a good book title.
Yeah. But the idea is that we're not pretending. We're not trying to be something different than we really are. We're being, and I think especially.
And we're not trying to put on our Sunday best.
Yeah.
We're trying to be honest with what we deal with as human beings that are trying to follow Christ.
I think younger generations, especially right now, value that because when they see the opposite of it, it's repulsive.
Yep,
and I get why. So
totally, yeah. Chad.
Nope, move on.
We're Christ-centered, gospel-centered, as opposed to man-centered, moralistic. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot. I remember who I was talking to recently about this, but there's a lot of in the church what passes for biblical preaching that really, I think somebody coined this phrase, moralistic therapeutic deism.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just, here's how you be a better human being.
Yeah.
Right. Just kind of moralism in disguise.
Yeah.
And it just passes for preaching in a lot of churches.
Yeah.
We actually believe that the Bible is the answer.
Yes.
And that God moves through his word, and that his word is the thing that changes and affects people.
Amen. Jesus is the best thing about us.
Right.
And we want to make sure that people know that every time they come in and hear the songs that we sing and the sermon that's preached and the way that we treat each other, is that Christ is the best thing about us. And that's the reality of what makes the church awesome, if it is awesome, is that it's the body of Christ.
Right.
It's him that makes it awesome. So
I think the interesting thing is that I don't think people realize when they're going to a more of a man-centered, moralistic church, they don't understand that that's where they're at.
Yep.
When they go to a gospel-centered church.
When they go crap. Right.
I just heard my daughter-in-law just kind of reinforce this idea. This was my idea of church all along. And then now I'm seeing this whole thing. I've never been taught these things. I've never seen these things. I've never heard these things.
Yep.
That there's a God who loves me, and that, you know, I mean, obviously they preach the gospel to some extent, but there's a big difference between making Jesus the star of the show and making it all about us.
And we've heard that from quite a few people that have been in church all their life and then came to the door, even older people that went, wow, this is different. It's a little bit sad that it's different because of that reason, because Christ is big here. Man is small here and dependent and reliant wholly on the bigness of him.
Right.
And they haven't heard that in the churches they've been in. It's like, come on,
what are we doing? Went away for a short period of time to a different, you know, they kind of snowbird or whatever you call that. And it was like they came back here and said, thank you for, like, this was like a glass of water to hear the gospel, to hear gospel-centered preaching again, and to hear, you know, Jesus made much of again,
for sure.
Which shouldn't be rare.
Yep.
But unfortunately,
right.
It is.
We focus on people over programs. Is that still true?
Yes, David.
What does that mean?
Well, and if you want to go, you can go, Chad.
Yeah, you okay. Get a thought going, so finish it.
Well, you know, I think it's very easy to just, especially when you get ready to start a church,
yeah.
You have to have everything in place.
Yes.
So you have to have all of the programs, all the things everybody wants,
yes.
All ready to go, or you can't even start.
Or yet. You will fail to launch.
Yeah, you're never going to launch.
Yeah.
And we just don't believe that. We just think.
It's actually a lie.
Yeah, stay behind what God. Stay behind what God's doing as needs arise. Create the program that's needed. You know, we didn't have anything for youth for a long time because we didn't really have a need for it.
Right.
Once the need appeared, then we started to figure out how to do that.
Yep.
And what we found every time was that as the need came, God supplied the people and the resources and whatever we need to do that thing. So that's been our model. So we're not anti-program. We just want to make sure we're paying attention to the people that are there, what God's doing in them, and then adjust accordingly.
So the people in your midst dictates and determines the program that might be necessary rather than there the other way around. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we tend to think, too, that like programs are what's going to grow the church.
Yeah.
Right? And, that's just part of that Western entrepreneurial American mindset. If you build it, they will come, you know, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, our goal is not to run programs.
Right.
Our goal is to see people enter into a relationship with Christ and come into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so when you focus on one over the other, it just causes you to look and operate a certain way.
Yes.
And so we're always going to value, people. Like, the programs are there to serve the people.
Yes. And we even want to see those people that come in from different walks of life with different challenges and different baggage integrate, because we're all coming in under the headship of Christ.
Right, right.
Sometimes, which is the next one, integration. Sometimes the programs can keep people divided where they should be actually bleeding together more.
Into their own little corners.
Yeah. So the next ones, we want to be an integrated church, and that's connected directly to people over programs.
Right.
If you guys want to hit that one.
Integrated. Yeah. I mean, the church is meant to be, to integrate across, demographics.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful thing. And the Bible even tells, the older people should pour into the younger people.
Yes.
Right. And so that's part of God's design for the church. And it's a beautiful thing when it actually happens. I think we were talking just the other day. We see this disconnect in youth ministry, and have over the years, where you put the youth over here in this corner in the youth group and they do their thing. And then all of a sudden they're 18. It's like, okay, now you need to go be a part of the big church, and there's no connection there because they haven't been integrated. They've been segregated. But God's design for the church is integration, and it's beautiful when it happens.
Yeah. So sometimes the programs can actually be harmful in creating the integration that should be happening in the church. We're going through Ephesians chapter. We're just hitting chapter 4. Paul's hitting this whole idea heavy right here.
Yeah.
Like it's this isn't something we came up with. This is something that's extremely biblical. Brent, you want to add?
Well, we just talked to a guy the other day that was describing in the big church that they're in the Valley. They're doing a traditional service and a contemporary service. And I remember churches doing this, and I kind of thought that was kind of over and done with because I think it's a horrible idea.
Yes. Especially if your goal is integration.
Well, again, you're trying to okay, we want all the old people. We want to appease them. And I get that. The old people in the church are important. We want to, and then so let's make a special service just for them and give them what they want. And then we'll do a contemporary. It's for the kids and the young people, and we'll make it fun and exciting, and the music will be better. And now you've literally taken all the people with wisdom and separated from all the people who need it.
Yeah.
It's a really goofy idea.
What could go wrong?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't think Jesus probably wants it that way. So
I agree.
Bring those groups together. And again, that means you're going to have to maybe have some songs for one group and some songs for the other group.
Right.
And but that's what you do as a family, is you figure that stuff out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Which plays into what kind of is added here next. We want to be a church where people put their preferences and comforts aside for the sake of others. That is what has to happen to make integration happen. But a lot of times we don't want to do that, which is why we create separate services and programs.
Right.
We're actually helping people not put others above themselves.
Right.
So we're not doing any favors.
I think Keller talked about once that you can read the Bible as being basically about you, or you can read the Bible as being basically about God.
Yeah.
And depending on how you read it, it causes you to think and live in a certain way. And I think we just say, again, this is maybe a Western American thing where we read the Bible as basically being about us.
Yes.
And here are the things that are going to enrich my life or make me a better person. And when you read the Bible that way, you can't think about others over and above yourself.
Which comes back to how we teach again,
which
we already talked about. One of the things that's weird here to certain people is that we're big God, little man. We're God-centered, not man-centered.
Bible is not about
you. And people go, what is this? And it's like, it's that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a video years ago that showed it was like called Drive-Through Church. And you drove up in your car and you got a little speaker and like, you know, welcome to whatever church, you know, can I take your order? And it's like, well, yeah, I want a 15-minute sermon. You know, I want this. It was all these people with their preferences.
Yes.
And, you know, who's preaching today?
Yeah.
You know, I want the funny guy. It was pretty hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. But it does capture the heart of why people come to church. And, you know, I don't think the worship was very good today. I wish it was this. I wish it was that.
Right.
As though church is about you.
Right. Right.
And so if we can get people into that mindset of this isn't about you, you're here to serve others, you're here to worship God, and make it about that and not about all the little things you want, it'll change your church experience entirely.
So this is the opposite of consumerism, which you, if you listen to this podcast, we say the C word constantly. Sorry, not sorry. It's just, it's a problem. Yeah. Right.
I talked to a guy the other day who who's not even a Christian, not part of a church at all, but he's figured out kind of this secret in life that if you serve others, life is better.
Is it better to give than to receive?
Yeah.
Like
he's figuring this out.
Even joyful, even.
Right.
Even meaningful, even.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just figuring out. No, that idea that I didn't get anything out of church today, it's like, what did you put in? I was thinking, like, did you come with the mindset of, like, you're going to come for something other than yourself?
Yes.
It will change everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So the door's big on these things. This last one in this section, I think we should probably remove. It says we understand the door isn't going to be the right church for everybody. I don't know if I agree with that anymore. No, I completely agree with that.
Well, that's on them, not on us, right?
And that's proven by the many times we've sent people away.
Well, I would point out we're not trying to be.
We're not trying to be jerks.
We're not trying to be the church for everyone.
We're not trying to be exclusive.
We're also not trying to be jerks.
Okay, gotcha.
But we're also not trying to be the church for everybody.
That's correct.
You're going to find that some people, it's just like, this isn't going to be a good fit for you.
Yeah.
Based on, so we've had people come in, they want signed gifts. They want to see feathers and gold dust, and they want the Bethel experience or whatever.
Sure.
It's like, we're not going to do that.
Sure.
Jesus is the star of the show here. Yeah. He always will be. If those things genuinely show up, not feathers and gold, but works of the Spirit that really
happen. Hasn't happened in 14 years, right?
Well, there's been things that have been kind of mind-blowing to me, but not...
Kind of glittery.
Not
glittery.
Not straight-up glitter, but anyway, we want that, but we're never going to just seek that. So if that's what you're all about, no, don't come here.
And there are some people who clearly don't want the big God church, too.
Correct.
They actually like the man-centered approach interpretation and unpacking of the scriptures.
They want three things to do.
And they're uncomfortable with this God-centered one, and this church isn't going to be right for you, right?
Yep. There's people that want no accountability. They want to sneak in and sneak out, not be known or you know anybody or have to do anything.
They don't want close contact Christianity.
Yep. Right. And so again, same thing.
Some people don't like the authenticity either. It makes them uncomfortable.
Right.
I know someone particularly close to me in my life that's just like, that makes me uncomfortable during praise and prayer time to where like it would be something that would cause them to not actually willingly come to a church like this. So,
right.
Yeah. Not for everybody. Yeah. All right. We need to move on because we're... in trouble. This next one's probably our biggest distinctive, wouldn't you say? Leadership.
Yeah.
So our leadership framework and the way that we're set up, the one decent pastor, three of us sitting at this table right now, it's odd. It's kind of a unicorn. It shouldn't be. It's something that's appealing and even agreeable biblically to other pastors, but not many churches do it. And again, this isn't like a we're awesome thing. We're just kind of dumb enough to believe our Bibles
on
this.
Yeah, we believe what the Bible says.
And so let's, it starts off by saying we believe the Bible prescribes two offices of leadership for the church. My sermon this week's going to say something a little different than that. But I know what you mean. Ongoing offices.
Offices.
Yeah.
Elder and deacon.
Elder and deacon, right? Elders and deacons. Elder also referred to in the Bible as overseers. Or pastors are primarily responsible for the spiritual oversight of the church through the ministry of the word and prayer. So that's one. We believe the Bible prescribes prescribes a leadership of multiple co-equal elders. We see this in places like Timothy and other places where even places in Acts where they're establishing a multiplicity rather than one dude that puts on a cape. And that does not require a lead pastor model or senior pastor model. Jesus is our head pastor. The elders are under shepherds. So that tackles elders or pastors. Mike drop. Though the elders are equal in authority, they have different roles. Some are more public, like those who teach, but also called to shepherd God's people. We believe that the church and the elder team benefit from elders with various gifts and strengths. Again, that's what this is right here. I'm going to talk about it this Sunday a little bit.
Yeah.
About how this is actually complementarian. It's the same reason why God doesn't give kids two moms or two dads, but gives them a mom and a dad. That's kind of the same idea with the plurality of elders to a church. Right. It not only takes care of a lot of things here as far as a safety net and a strength, but it's also beneficial majorly to the congregation
right.
to have what they have right here in us rather than one dude who's everything. So, yeah.
Yep.
All right. Deacons are the second. Yep.
Well, you already said this, but the reason that we do this is because we think it's biblical.
We think it's biblical.
Not just because we think it's a cool way to do it.
It is kind
of
cool, too,
we have seen the benefits of it.
It's a little bit punk rock.
I mean, we've seen the benefits of it over and over again. I mean, the fact that we haven't taken sabbaticals, the fact that we don't, you know, haven't, you know, burnt out in the same way that some people do. Because we share the load together,
yes.
it just makes it so much more doable.
Yes.
And I wish more pastors would do it.
Yes.
I think the reason most don't, it's the ego part. You know, there, there's these type A guys and there's the money part. If we could get rid of those two things and cause I think most people love this model. They love the idea, but then they don't want to implement it.
Yeah.
Right.
This has been one of the most sanctifying works for me is, walking alongside, co-equal with you guys. Because, even though I love the benefits and I love it for the most part, all the good things that come from it, it's continually humbling.
Yeah.
It continually kills my flesh. And the things I think I can do or should be doing for myself as a pastor, you know what I mean? Because we are different and we don't always agree, and so it's a constant exercise in humility.
Well, if there were a third reason against it, it would be that.
Yeah. Well, the
guys recognize like they want to be kind of at the top of the food chain
for sure,
top of the pyramid
for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, because we believe that a pastor and an elder is the same thing, we don't have a separate elder board. So in some churches, you've got the pastor, and then you've got a group of people called elders who aren't really pastors.
Yes.
We believe pastors and elders are the same thing. So we are the pastors, we are the elders, and there isn't any.
We are the elder / pastor board at the door.
So there isn't a separate group of people. We do have a group of advisory elders what do we call them? Advisory board?
Trustees.
That's the word. That they're not a decision-making board. They're a recommending board to help us just have more accountability. Yeah. So they make recommendations to us. And
we'll run big decisions by the trustees. Yeah.
And then the other, but that's
and then
not
we
an
have
office.
The second office that God has given the church, which is deacons are appointed. Deacons. They're appointed as needed by the elders. And this is the difference between elders and deacons. They're here to oversee the physical needs or the practical needs that go on within the congregation from week to week so that the elders can deal with the spiritual needs and have all their attention and focus there. So men and women can serve as deacons, provide. The only reason I did that is because we've had some talks and we might be changing our position a little bit on that, but we don't, whatever. Okay. They can serve as deacons provided they meet the qualifications, which there are qualifications that are laid out in the Bible. We find that in Timothy and also Titus just Timothy. Elders and deacons represent the offices of leadership within the church, but we also believe that every church member should use their gifts to serve the church and to contribute to what we have often called pastoral care, which is ministering to and caring for other members of the church. So if we're to break that down, spend a little more time on that one, what would you say to your congregants? What's their job?
I mean, pastoral care is a team effort.
It's a team effort. It takes a village,
Yeah, and we're grateful to have, you know, deacons that can engage in that work. But really, it's in every Christian, you know, kind of an effort.
Yeah.
I would focus on the word pastor. It means shepherd.
Yeah.
So we're asking the church to shepherd each other. So to it's not the idea that you're in a position of authority where you can go around and tell people what to do and, you know, get in their business. But you're looking out for each other because we can't do that, especially with two locations. There's no way we can do that all on our own.
Right.
But when you have everybody bought in and they're doing it for each other, it's a beautiful thing. Yep. And it's where the church is supposed to operate.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, we've said it many times. A lot of times someone will end up in the hospital, will be the 9th or 10th or 11th person there, and that's one of the coolest things to see is when the congregation is completely bought in with overseeing each other's you know, souls and well-being and just taking good care of each other. It's awesome.
I would also say the best way for this to happen is this idea of this co-shepherding kind of aspect is it can't just happen if you're coming to church on Sundays.
No.
You need to be more invested than that for this to really,
that's a good point.
To really come together. So.
Totally. Yep. I don't think we need to go, and we're basically done. We don't need to go into detail on the ministries and the outreach. There's a lot of different ways that the practical outworkings, as far as us being an outward church instead of an inward church, that's all those are. There's different ministries and things that are going on.
I would point out
that one of them would be like our building, even the way we use our building, stuff like that.
That's what I was going to point out. The way that we basically always want it to be very open with our building and our community so that our community sees us as a blessing.
Yeah.
Now, again, you know, if we went away tomorrow, would the community miss us? Yeah. And we would hope the answer would be yes. So we want to be very generous or known as that within the church. So
finally, the one that I've been waiting for, I love this one, giving. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so all your gifts are tax deductible. Ding, ding, ding. We have a team that keeps track of donations for us and that provides financial accountability, so we're not just walking around with all the money doing whatever we want, when we want, how we want. The pastors purposefully do not know how much individual congregants members give. And we don't want to. We don't want it to mess up the way that we shepherd, who we shepherd, how often we shepherd them, the investments that we make in people. We want that to be out of sight, out of mind. We just want to be able to love people and shepherd people the best that we can, so we don't pay attention to what people give. You guys want to add to that?
I would point out we do know the amounts that come in, so we do we do know, we have our finger on the pulse of the finances, but we don't we purposefully don't want to know who's giving what.
No, the next is we don't overly focus on giving. I was talking to someone the other day. We've been doing this for 14 years. I've never once done a sermon on giving. Yes, it's a valid and necessary act of worship, so it's not that it doesn't mean anything, but we just don't hit it. We've had people come up to us multiple times that have been coming for a while going like, are we even allowed to give a plate?
If we wanted to, could we
slip you a 20? You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, there's a box on the wall somewhere. Go find it. You know what I mean? There's a box back there. We don't pass the plate.
We know that it's been overdone. In churches. And so kind of our reaction to it being overdone is maybe to underdo it a bit.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, we trust God.
Totally.
He's going to provide for the needs of the church.
Yes.
And he has. And continues to provide, you know, for the needs that we have. And so we don't feel the need that we have to bang that drum all of the time.
One of the sections that we should add to this is the membership question, probably.
It's in there. Your response?
I didn't see it. Oh, I thought I saw questions, and then I was like, your response is your questions you have for us.
The giving, I was going to say something about as well, though.
Do it.
The idea that if the church is, the door is your home church, then you do have a responsibility to give. Because we don't talk about it.
That's what I meant by it. It's an act of worship.
Because we don't talk about it doesn't mean it's not important.
No.
It's been amazing to see how God has faithfully provided over the years. And I just want to say it, you know, God is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
The fact that we don't focus on it, we don't pass the plate, and yet we've always had what we need has been kind of an affirmation that what we're doing here is, you know, God's pleased with
and
his hands on it. And so we are grateful for all the people that have faithfully given because we don't really force people to do it.
It needs to be a tenth, right?
Yep.
Needs to be a tithe.
No. It can be more than that. No, it's all your money.
No, we have this conversation.
Until it hurts, that's what it needs to be. Until it hurts. No, don't do that. Yeah. And it probably is worth mentioning too. I know we're running up against the clock here, but probably worth mentioning that, you know, we run pretty lean, you know, from a budget perspective. You know, we try to be, you know, efficient with, you know, the expenditures that we have and not, you know, spend money on things that we don't need to spend money on things.
Yeah.
You know, we're part of our outward focus and our ministry-minded focus is like that. That's where the funds go is towards, you know, building the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily towards things that aren't going to work, you know, to achieve that end.
For sure. So when it comes to membership, if someone's wondering how they become a member at the door, it's we don't have what's called a strong formal membership, formal meaning that you sign papers and the whole thing becomes like official, where a notary's present and blood is drawn and all that. But we do believe in strong membership. We do believe that, you know, and basically what that means is every believer that's been baptized, every true believer with a profession of Christ and baptism is a member of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Whether you're in this location or that location, you are a member of the church if you belong to Christ. With that being said, there's disobedient members and obedient members. And the difference between that is that you are functioning and serving in a local congregation.
Sure.
If you're obedient, if you're not functioning and serving in a local congregation somewhere and you just kind of hop around, you don't really know anybody, you're not really known by anybody, you're a disobedient member. Like that's kind of where we're at. So, we believe in strong membership. It matters. But it's not formal. So.
Well, and I said that part of this for us too is to know who those people are that have said we see the direction the door is going. Yeah. We see the way the bus is driving, and we want to get on the bus with you guys. So we, you know, we're on board. We're under your authority. Even we recognize that you guys are our pastors. We've looked at our doctrinal statement, We've looked at the bylaws. We're on board.
Yeah.
It's helpful for us to know who those people are. It doesn't necessarily change how we're going to treat you, but right. knowing that, like, well, you know, they've agreed to, you know, they're on mission with right. us.
And the truth is, we know who they are, right?
But it's nice when we hear that yes. kind of verbal affirmation that sure. I'm on mission. We're part of this.
For sure.
Because there's a lot of people that like to stand on the fence outside,
yes.
And they don't really ever commit.
Right.
And so that's really what we're asking for.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the church has a function about it, and the church has a life about it.
Yeah.
And you see people that, you know, maybe are involved in the function of the church. You know, they come to the Sunday gathering, and maybe they go to a home group, whatever the events are, but can sometimes be disconnected from the life
totally.
Of the church.
Yeah.
And obedient members, you know, not only value the function of the church, but also value and are involved in the life
yes.
of the church.
Yes. So don't just stick your toe into the pool, like right. do a cannonball into
right.
the deep end.
yeah.
Or, you know, don't just date the church.
Right.
Like marry the church.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you guys got questions on anything, just let us know. Like we said earlier, Total Church is one of those books that we read a lot to fall and or to shape and form a lot of where we fall on this stuff. Christian Beliefs by Wayne Grudem is a lot of why we believe the yep. way that we believe. Those are two basic resources. Yeah, we got this. We got the podcast here. We got a newsletter that some people read, some people delete.
We don't really put that out much anymore.
Who in this room reads and deletes?
Yeah. The website, the Facebook group, there's a lot of ways to get connected, stay connected throughout the week, stay updated on things that are going on in the body of Christ. So,
and the pastors love to grab coffee.
We do.
Yeah.
We like good coffee.
We'll even hang out over bad coffee, good though. Coffee, so, yeah. I would say just by way of hoping that we get something on the book soon, we do need to do new covers launches soon in both locations. This is basically what we talk about, but we you know, get a chance to let you guys ask questions
yeah.
and interact.
Yeah,
and that's a valuable time. So,
yeah, for
so
sure.
We'll try to get on that sooner than later.
Yep. All right, boys, why don't you pray us out here?
All right, Lord, thanks for today, and just thanks for all that you're doing in our church and in our fellowship, and not just in our church, but in churches throughout the world. And so just pray you'd help us and help other churches to be about the business of the kingdom, and help us to be able to distinguish between just the ways of man and the ways of God in the way that we do church. And pray that you would continue, as you promised, to grow your church by bringing people in that are coming to know you more and more as time goes on. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
By the way, I have to do this every time. We feel utterly blessed to do what we're doing
100%.
Here at the door. Like, we feel so privileged and so honored. We're encouraged both with each other, but in the Lord and you guys. Like, we absolutely yeah. love, yep. Even though sometimes it's a challenge, we love that God has called us to do this where we're doing this with you guys. So thank you for how good you've been to us as well. So,
amen.
All right.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to One Decent Pastor. If you'd like more information about the church, go to our website at thedoor3r.org.